Let's see. Well, everybody hears you now.
Log Talk Radio.
And I can make a firm pledge under my plan, no family making less than $250,000.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Any form of
transparency and the rule of law will be the touchstone of this president.
That, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Even presidents need reminding that our rights come from nature and God and not from government. The right that makes all the difference now is the right to choose our own leaders. And you are entitled to the clearest possible choice, because the time for choosing is
Missouri
drawing near.
Grassroots Radio is proud to present your favorite hillbilly, Mr. Kevin Harned.
Well, this is Dave. Kevin's here somewhere, and I think he'll be along soon. I think he's working on trying to get some video or some audio converted for what's coming up here. Tonight, Kevin has, I'm Dave, by the way, and I'm talking for Kevin for the moment. Kevin's got an excellent show tonight. He's got Mark Mueller coming along. Mark is from up in the Kansas City area, and he's got a lot of press here lately. He's the guy who gives away a gun if you buy a car from his car dealership. He's also come under fire quite a bit lately for some Tea Party statements he's made. He suggested, quite loudly, that probably the Republican Party ought to stop eating itself up and stop fighting in and among itself. You know, that little clip that Kevin uses at the start of the show is one of my favorites, the one with Paul Ryan, and I like to here's something that I think everyone needs to remember. That is that I can't tell what's going on here. I think Kevin has dropped out. But anyway, listen to this. This was probably the clearest choice ever between do we get the economy moving by raising taxes, or do we get the economy moving by cutting taxes? I mean, in the history of elections, this was the clearest of those choices. Kevin's back. Hi, Kevin. I just kind of took it while you were gone.
Thanks, Dave. I don't know what happened. It just kept kicking me into hold. I guess it was a mercy kill. I don't know. I swear to you, I couldn't hear anything, and every time I try to go into any other aspects of it, I would get put back on the hold. So I thought maybe it was a total and complete hijacking. I was just wishing that I could hear you, is all.
Well, here you are now. I was just saying, and then it's yours again, that that something that's encouraging to me in all of this misery is that that this was probably in the history of this country the clearest possible choice between ideologies. You can say anything you want to about Mitt Romney and that he wasn't far enough right, but I mean between the ideology of do we fix the economy by raising taxes, or do we fix the economy by cutting taxes? Do we fix the culture by making people more dependent on the government, or do we fix the culture by making people less dependent on the government? Do we fix the culture by making government bigger, or do we fix the country by making the government smaller? In the history of this country, between those two ideologies, it was probably the clearest possible choice. And we only lost by 4%, 52 to 48. So 48% of the people in this country clearly think that the ideology of lower taxes to boost the economy, lower spending, lessen government, and make people independent is the way to go. And when you look at that 48 to 52, we easily lost 4%, 5% to the other extraneous crap, the abortion, the gay marriage, the war on women. And if we could get that message back, if we could keep that message clear, if we could keep that line drawn, there's no reason why it shouldn't be 52-48 the other way around.
Well, and there's so many different aspects of it, Dave, but I honestly wonder, and we've talked about this before, if we've hit that saturation point with the huge addition of folks that are basically voting themselves benefits. We are, you know, I mean, everybody beat up on Romney for coming off on that. And quite frankly, I don't think he was far off of the queue. I know that we're very fractured. There's news articles all over the place about talking about civil war and everything else within the Republican Party. Different groups, especially those that fashion themselves social conservatives, talk of starting a third party. I don't see parties as being part of the solution per se, because ultimately every party has the same problem, and that is they only want you to vote for those within the party. Isn't that right? I mean, you automatically by default start taking up some of the similar problems that the other bigger parties have. You're just on a smaller scale.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, party politics is a politics of separatism.
Yeah, it's separatism, many different aspects that we could describe it as, but ultimately even those with the best intentions, and I do believe that the Constitution Party was started with good intentions and stuff, and they eventually, even though I'm not trying to bash them by no means, but you automatically, by nature, develop a lot of the same similarities that are lead to problems from the bigger parties. So
go ahead. Nobody wants to stand up on a national stage and say, you know, vote for me because I want to do nothing.
Right. You know what? I don't know. that sounds pretty damn good sometimes.
It does. I mean, it's exactly the way it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Yes, it is. All of this talk, now there's talk, you know, once again, what was declared the nuclear option, now all of a sudden is resurfacing as a solution from both the president and Harry Reid, and that is trying to get rid of the filibuster, basically, or trying to make the rules much more complicated than what it's been. I mean, you remember not very long ago at all, whenever the Republicans had even entertained the thought of doing that, you had Democrats screaming nuclear option and the world is burning. Now all of a sudden, you know what? It's because the people want to see something get done, and we need to be able to get some stuff done. That's going to be an ugly situation if it does. I honestly, I have to say that I quite frankly, if that would happen to be shoved through, I wouldn't say that if the Republicans just packed up and went back, or all of those that aren't part of the Democratic majority packed up, went back to their home states and said, hey, you know what, these folks are running the whole show, and we've got we're not going to participate and make this thing look legitimate.
Well, yeah, you know, and you can't convince me that the McCains and the McConnells and the Blunts don't want that to happen right now. I mean, they probably figure that when they get back in the majority that they can fix it back or that it'll be in their favor. But right now, what Blunt wants, what McConnell wants, what guys like John McCain want is they need to be able to say, okay, we had nothing to do with it, and put all the blame over on their buddies in the House.
Now, we're going to have a guest on this evening, Mark Mueller, and he's going to be calling in. Many of you may recognize him as the gentleman that lives around the Kansas City, Missouri area that has a car lot that has given away different gifts with the purchase of a car. For instance, he's given away handguns, the most controversial and God knows that the media jumped all over it whenever he was giving away AK-47s with purchases. That was quite an entertaining interview, actually, on CNN, and we will play that for you a little bit later. But we'd like to welcome on with Dave Court and myself, Mark Mueller. Mark, thanks for joining us this evening.
Good evening. How are you guys?
We're good.
Oh, fantastic.
Dave?
I'm good. I'm good too. Yeah.
Mark, first and foremost, we would like to introduce you, and we'd also like to tell folks that you are in the sales business for Fine American Vehicles. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. All the domestic brands.
All the domestic brands, and your location and the name of your business is?
It's Max Motors. We have a location in Nevada, Missouri for the GM brands, and in Butler, Missouri, we have the Ford and Chrysler brands.
Now, you had some pretty good success whenever you had the handgun giveaway, as far as at least you guys weren't handing these things across the counter. If you'd like to explain a little bit how you had that worked out, I believe from interviews and other stories that I've read, you had things set up with a local dealer. Is that correct?
Yeah. Here's what we did. First of all, it was grandstanding, no question about it, and it worked. You know, we're just trying to get our name out there and sell some cars.
Right.
How do you get through the noise with all the, you know, there's the internet and the radio and the newspaper and the word of mouth, and so we're trying to figure it our way. You know, I'm in a tiny little county down here. There's maybe 16,000 in the whole county of Bates, and not many more than that in Vernon, where the GM dealership's at. And somehow, if you want to sell cars, you got to get your name out there. And anyway, it started when Obama, I'm a kind of a political animal.
That's all right.
Said, you know, we have to have sympathy or pity, or, you know, they don't understand the people in the Midwest clinging to their guns and Bibles. Well, you know, that just absolutely made my blood boil. So the first thing we did the next day, I announced a free Bible with a test drive and a free handgun with a purchase. And, of course, everyone just went nuts.
Right.
I mean, how dare you give away Bibles? Well, you know, if I can't give away a Bible, well, what about guns? Well, it's my constitutional right, isn't it? You can't give people guns. Well, of course we can't give people guns. It's not a gun dealer. But what we did do is we gave them a voucher to go and buy a gun. And at that voucher, by the way, I would say, do you want a check or do you want a voucher? And it's just give me a check. I'll go buy what I want. So it was pretty much just a promotion to
right.
You know, to stick your thumb in Big Brother's eye, you know. We still have constitutional rights in this country, and if more people would stand up and scream and holler at the top of your lungs on the highest roof you can find, I think we can start curbing some of this aggression. But anyway, that led to, you know, the next year was, you know, geez, Mark, what are you going to do to beat that? We had tons of press. We had people in from all over literally the world. And then I said, well, you know, let's give away AK-47s. Well, I had all the managers in from all the different operations, and because, you know, we have other things other than just the new car stores. And,
sure.
They were like, Mark, you can't do it. Had the office managers, the sales managers, finance managers, the general managers, partners in other businesses, and they voted 100% against it. And then I said, well, let's see what the attorney thinks. And the attorney said, Mark, I got to tell you, a great attorney, I think it's legal. He goes, but I got to strongly advise against it. And I said, well, but it is legal. He said, yes, it is. And hung the phone up. I looked at everyone. I said, well, that's why I get to be the boss, because I'm making the decision, and it's yes, I'm overriding all of you. Well, why do you even have us vote? I said, well, I was kind of hoping to get some support from somebody, but it's legal, so we're going to do it. And, well, I mean, we had people in from literally Moscow. Two different news groups came in from Moscow, London. I don't know. I did six or seven interviews. One, yep, London. That was an interesting one. They came in, and I said, London, huh? They go, yeah. So you guys with the BBC? Yeah, kind of like that. Well, this is going to blow everybody's dress up on this program, I promise. Well, we got all done, and the guy hands me his card. And it says Al Jazeera Radio or Al Jazeera TV. And if you get on my website, maxmotors.com, you can see the deal. And this guy filmed me all day. Well, I know I did something stupid. I had to have in a day. Anyone that didn't, let me know who they are, you know. And so I told the guy, I said, look, partner, I said, I don't need a hit piece. I said, turn the camera back on. He goes, why? I says, because I got a message for you and all your terrorist buddies. And the guy says, Mark, you don't understand. I said, I know exactly who you people are. He goes, you're going to judge this program before you even see it? I said, absolutely. Al Jazeera is terrorist TV as far as I can tell. And the guy said, well, you've misread me. We're not turning the camera. I said, give me the tape. He said, no, I'm not giving you the tape. Is this going to get violent? I said, no, it's not going to get violent. You know it. You've been with me all day. And the guy said, well, we're going to go, and I'll send you a copy of the tape. If you don't like it, I won't run it. How's that? I said, really?
Nope.
You're going to give me veto rights? He goes, yes, sir, I am. If you don't like what I'm going to print, I'll not run the article. And I got to tell you, do you know who the fairest people were? Wasn't CNN, obviously.
Well, it definitely wasn't.
Al Jazeera was the only. Now, listen, pay attention. This is important.
Oh, yeah.
Al Jazeera, our predetermined ideas about people are so wrong in so many instances, and I'm a perfect example of ignorance. Al Jazeera TV, where they gave me the most fairest, honest. They didn't take a side or other or try and condemn or mock. They just told the story.
I'll be darned.
I got to tell you, just keep that in mind when we're when I hope I get to talk about today about reaching out. We need to open our hearts and minds.
Right. No, and you definitely.
Anyway, we sold a ton of cars. We gave away a ton of vouchers. I'm still selling cars on that promotion. I didn't do it. Then the next year we did. I tried to up it, and I tried to buy a tank, and I couldn't get one that was armed. So I offered to give away a 50 caliber Barrett sniper rifle with every Dodge Viper bought. It was called the Vipers and Snipers promotion. I thought it was going to be great. Nobody cared. Do you know why? Because the media doesn't know what a Barrett 50 cal is. They know what an AK-47 is. Knee-jerk reaction of the media, if you want to get the free press, you got to pull their chain, and they don't understand what a – look, do you want to get shot with a 50 caliber or an AK? I mean,
right.
This is a no-brainer. The 50 caliber will go through 16 houses and kill everybody on its way. It's a incredibly powerful weapon. But no one picked up on that. So the best promotion we did yet was the AK-47, which has led into newsflash here. They start filming a reality TV show at the dealership on December the 13th of this year. The next, they're going to be here for the first episode. It's going to be on History Channel. It's going to be a big deal. So
really?
And I think that'll draw some traffic.
Well, sure it will, and congratulations. I mean, there's a lot of the program. I know it gets trashed a whole lot, but there's a lot of the programs that are – there's some that are junk, you know, all the Honey Boo Boo stuff and so forth. But, I mean, there are some Doomsday Preppers, some others that are pretty interesting whenever it comes to that stuff. We've got a gentleman online with us right now. If you don't mind taking a question on this or two, we will get to your politics as far as your political feelings and the direction you'd like to go on that. But with us, Rick, have you got a question for Mark?
Hey, Kevin, this is Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Hey. I like that Vipers and Snipers. That Barrett is a hell of a rifle.
Richard's kind of he's a friend, and he's also a gun aficionado. He loves Second Amendment rights, as do all of us. But he's one that likes to he plays with quite a few more models that I haven't gotten my hands on yet either. Richard? Did you catch any earlier program whenever Mark Mueller was talking about the giveaways, but the promotions that he had for the car sales?
I caught the fact that the Barrett went unnoticed by the media, but the AK-47s and the AR-15s, you know, they were like hawks on that, and I can believe it because they don't really know anything about guns, but they know those keywords.
Well,
that's it.
And at the conclusion of this, I'm going to play that CNN the CNN audio from an interview, and you could tell. I mean, she just focused on the AK-47.
Well, you know, if you ever shot a Barrett single action, I'm not talking about a semi. If you ever shot a Barrett single action, you better have your big boy panties on for that one.
Yeah,
does that gun kick?
I have not had that opportunity, but I would love to be able to do that sometime. And there's, you know, those things are there's so many variants of that now. Like I said, even the semi-automatic is going to have some pop to it, but the semi is usually a lot heavier than the single shot, so. You know, it more than makes up for it that way.
Well, come on out to the farm, Richard, and we can do some shooting.
I'd love it. I got my big boy's an AR-10, so you know, it's not a bad sniper rifle, but it's nothing compared to a Barrett 50 cal or even their 416.
I don't want to get off track here, but you see that new scope they have out? I think it's a TAC-10 or a TAC-Force or whatever that gun is, coming out on January the 13th with data acquisition targeting.
Is that Barrett's new scope?
No, I don't think it's a Barrett. If it is Barrett, they put it on a 338, and you can literally at 1,200 yards paint the target and then squeeze the trigger, and the bullet won't go off until it's a bullseye.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, we've got some great military technology coming down the pike that I'm sure the government's going to outlaw, so you better buy it quick, and hopefully they grandfather it in.
If you can afford it, that's the kicker.
It isn't going to be cheap.
You know, gentlemen, the day after the election, I've got a good friend that lives around Hollister, Missouri, and he knows somebody at the Bass Pro down in Branson. And the little Bass Pro outlet down there, and I say little, it's not the big store. It's just like one of the little offshoots.
Right.
But they sold over $11,000 in guns the day after the election.
Sure.
Wow.
And they're just that one day. And as you guys know, whenever we look at what's happened to ammunition, whenever we look at, you know, everybody blames people. A lot of people on the left will blame folks for hoarding and doing these other things. But really, it's the policies and the other aspects of what our government's doing that's causing these prices to go haywire.
Without question, it's fear. And I got to tell you, I love the guy that says, you know, because everyone knows I'm kind of a gun guy, and they're like, yeah, I got an AR-15, a shotgun, and a 357 Magnum. I was like, say, well, great. How many bullets do you have? Well, I got a box of bullets for the AR-15. I got about half of them left for the – well, whoa, wait a minute. The gun does you no good without the bullets. For every gun you got, you need 300 or 400 rounds minimum. So, and, you know, people that are listening to think they're prepared because they've got – and I'm not talking about, you know, just robbery or hunting or civil unrest, or just overall preparation, not painting
right.
a picture right here. If you think you're prepared because you got 6 shotgun shells left, you got another thing coming.
Absolutely. I mean, unless you're going to hit somebody with the butt of a gun, you're going to need something
That's
coming
it.
Out the other end of it.
Well, and mostly too, people who are on the preparedness end of it are set up for doing some reloading of their most common rounds too.
Now, they've started regulating a whole lot of that equipment too and starting to try to track it and make it much more difficult to get too.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I think it was after the last election, I had trouble finding, I was just breaking into reloading, and I was having trouble finding the powder that I wanted, primers that I wanted, and the bulk projectiles, too. And
well, the largest problem you're going to have with the powder is it gets back to 9/11 and some of the rules they changed.
Right.
I had a whole hoard of fireworks that I was saving for the next year because I didn't use them all. And a buddy of mine that sold them to me came by with a truck, and I said, what's up, bud? He goes, I'm here to get those fireworks. I go, no way, I'm keeping them. He goes, no way, you're a felon now if I don't take those with me now. And he paid me what I paid for them and took a truckload of pretty, you know, pretty big fireworks, because even those fireworks without the proper license, you're now a felon.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know that, I mean, that is definitely the direction that those in Congress and others that don't respect the Second Amendment rights of the citizens, that's the direction they're going in, is they're trying to get rid of the ammo, or at least make it much more difficult to get
a
hold of.
Correct.
Well, yeah, everybody, I think you guys probably heard of the violence tax in Chicago that they're looking to push forth.
Is that unbelievable?
It
is.
You know, it's not like they don't have enough gun regulations in Chicago to go along with the highest crime rate in the country. You would think that eventually at some point people would realize that it doesn't work. But
you don't,
you know, they keep trying.
Mark, on the political end of things too, do you know of any other line or any other entity that whenever they screw up they come back with either stronger legislation, or I mean, whenever just for instance, I mean, just like the licensed pharmaceuticals that have been shut down, just like that group, they're already regulated. They already exist within restrictions. They've been given permission from the government, regardless of what they say about them, to operate. And because they were in violation of multiple laws that already exist, now they're going to stiffen and make the laws even harsher yet. Do you know of anything else that can operate that way?
No, I mean, look, liberalism, the only problem with liberalism, just ask a liberal, is we don't have enough of it.
Yeah.
If it fails, it's because we didn't have enough.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that goes right
just
along
need,
with
we just we only had more laws. They wring their hands, and if I, you know, I wish everybody in America had a gun.
Oh yeah,
I really do.
I agree. I know Richard does. Don't you, Rich?
Oh yeah.
It's, not my everybody, but my next door neighbor.
Yeah, we do conceal and carry licenses at the dealership. I've got a promotion coming up in the spring. It's going to get too cold now where just coming and test driving a car, I'm going to pay for your CCW license. I'm going to have I'll fill the dealership with tables and chairs. I'll be able to do probably 150 people at a time. And we need as many armed citizens as we can possibly get in this great nation of ours and get back to our roots and our founding of self-determination, self-protection, and grab yourself by the bootstraps. If you're waiting for the police, you're in big trouble. And look, the cops, they're all my friends. In Bates County, Vernon County, the Sheriff's Department, the local police in Butler, I love these guys. One of them lives on my property, a sheriff does. I have no problem with any of these people. They're good folks, but no matter how good their intentions are, no matter, you know, none of that matters, because when that door breaks down, they wrote a book and they let me write the intro on it. It's called God, Guns, and Guts. And the opening is, crash, the sliding door is shattered, here comes hell. And the question is, now what? Now what do you do? You're going to dial 911? No, they're just going to come draw a line around you. You're done. They're going to have you beaten. They're going to rape your wife, rob your stuff, kill you, kill your wife, kidnap. It's total. It's here comes hell. And you, if people are waiting for the police or anyone else, you talk to an honest sheriff, and they all are, all the guys I know, and they'll tell you, if you're not armed, you're crazy. And that's the police telling you that.
Yeah. Well, they know. They know they can't.
Yeah, they know. They're the guys crawling the lines on the ground.
Right. Yep, that's true.
Well, and the other thing is, too, that the folks, and you mentioned it in that interview, but it's dead spot on. The folks that are committing these crimes are not doing it legally anyways. So the threat from legal citizens, from the folks that are getting their concealed carries and stuff, is minimal.
I think here's my statistic on this, because I haven't heard otherwise. I think it's zero. You show me a guy with a CCW license that went in and robbed a liquor store or a convenience store.
Right.
If it ever happened, it would be on the front page of every newspaper, would be on the end of every anchor babe's lips in the country, trying to demonize the people that carry guns. It's not happening from them.
No.
Okay? It's not. It's not. It's not. And, you know, we can argue about anything you want, but the crime is being committed by criminals, and criminals don't go and get a CCW license.
No, they don't. No, they're already violating the law in multiple areas.
Well, they would, yeah, and they wouldn't be able to get it anyway. They never pass the background check in order to get in for it.
Well, actually, that's not true. I'm telling you, a trained monkey, unless you're a convicted felon, anybody can get a CCW license. I am so pleased with how lax the laws are in the great state of Missouri. And I tell you, you can thank a Democrat, and this is what I want to talk about in a minute, you can thank a great Democrat for making it legal in the state of Missouri. The Republicans pushed and pushed and pushed, but it wasn't for the great Harold Caskey, one of the last great bills he passed out of Bates County. Harold's the reason that we have the right to carry a gun today in the state of Missouri as a Democrat.
And with that, gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back in just a few with Mark Mueller, Richard Blowers, Dave Court, myself.
I have one question before we go, Mark. The bottom line, is this selling cars?
Yeah.
Good.
Giveaway if you bought a car, and he was high as Viper.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
So dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
And back to Hillbilly Logic, and on air with us tonight, Mark Muller, and of course, of the AK-47 fame, whenever it comes to selling cars. And Mark, you know, you had said something very interesting, and that is true. If you would, just share with the folks what you had shared with me just a minute ago about as far as people being able to pick out a phony.
Look, here's the deal. I'm a car guy, all right? Car guys are not, you know, we're not much more popular than politicians and tax collectors. But people can tell if you've got conviction or if it's just you're just mouthing the words. And, I mean, I've had a lot of people come and, you know, they can tell the passion and enthusiasm. You know, you can't fake it. I've had a lot of people come by and say, I just want to shake your hand and, yeah, hey, how great, how are you, want to buy a car? Immediately I try to go into sell mode. I mean, I got to make a living.
Sure.
And they're like, no, not now. I will come back, but I just wanted to tell you, look, I don't own a gun. I don't ever want to own a gun, but I appreciate your passion and I appreciate your love for this country and the Constitution. And I really appreciate you standing up and poking Big Brother in the eye, you know? And I think people respect that. I don't care if you're a you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, look, on both sides, we got nuts,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
I'm talking about the 70-80% in the middle, Democrats, Republicans, we're all brothers. We need to get along. That's what I want to talk about in a minute. But they all appreciate someone that stands up for something, even if they disagree with what they're standing up for, providing they've got conviction and it's not phony.
Right, correct, and it's something that I always call intellectually honest. As long as they're really truly looking for a solution and not just pushing an agenda, and not, you know, not regarding any good credible evidence or anything else that's laid on the table. I agree. You know that is where we need to be working toward, and just like we talked about earlier, I mean, honestly, whenever you just look at the political parties in themselves. The political parties all inherently have many of the same symptoms, and they default back to them, and that is if you get in a situation where you're expected to vote for every single candidate that has that initial or is a member of that party, then how are you different along with many other aspects? Yeah.
You're not, brother. You're not at all. And let me tell you, the Republicans and the Democrats are taking us down the same road to hell. The only difference is the Republicans are in a little slower car. We're going to the same place, and the answer is not a third party. The answer is we've got to take over the Republican Party as the leftists have the Democratic Party. You people in Missouri, you ever heard of a guy named Harry Truman? There's some great Democrats. They were great fiscal hawks. They were great defense hawks. They were awesome. When you look at throughout the history, this isn't a battle between the Democrats and the Republicans. Most of the Democrats are misinformed that are voting like they are. If they really searched their heart and paid attention to the issues, they wouldn't do it. All right?
And
the answer is, I know you guys really like a lot of third-party stuff. It's not the answer. Third-party only guarantees victories to the liberal progressives. Go ahead.
Right. No, I was going to say, I certainly, you know, I in no shape, form, or fashion would restrict a third party. Or try to, you know, try to keep somebody from trying to become involved. What I would like to see, Mark, I mean, myself personally, whenever you're talking about third party action and everything else, I would rather see more favorable laws on the book that would not restrict independence so much. I mean, whenever I recently ran for county council, I could go over and write a check for $50 and file as either a Republican or a Democrat. But you know what? If I wanted to run as independent, I had to go get 5,000 signatures.
That's it.
And
why fight it? Run as a Republican and vote as a conservative.
Right. Well, and again, you know, like I said, I'm all for somebody running as a Republican or running as a Democrat. But I do believe for those that we ought to be more flexible and not make somebody that doesn't want the party affiliation have to go get the 5,000 signatures myself.
I agree 100%.
And that way you still have your party affiliation for those that choose. The main thing is there are, unfortunately, I'm seeing the Republican Party. All right, if we look at the left, and you mentioned that being hijacked as far as the Democrats being hijacked by the left. In that left, what I see happening was the Democratic Party stretched out so wide, and they got all these fringe groups, these little fringe groups, and now the little fringe groups hold them hostage all the time too. And that's
but they're winning.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. And you're right, but I still contend. I don't think Romney was too far off. I mean, whenever we have 17 million more on food stamps and 33% more on welfare than 4 short years, that is a lot of votes. That's a lot of recruitment. And, you know,
I disagree with you and all my Republican brethren on this issue. The problem was not Obama. The problem was the Republicans and the conservatives. 3 million evangelical Christians stayed home that voted for John McCain. 3 million.
Yep.
And I believe it's because Romney was a Mormon. We have to stop this. We have to stop savaging our own. Look, I didn't vote for Mitt Romney. Are you kidding me? You think that's the best our country has? I voted for one president in my life, and that was Mr. Ronald Reagan, the Gipper. Every other vote I've made has been voting against the other guy. I didn't vote for Bush. I voted against Gore. Now, come on, let's be honest with each other. These are protest votes. And you think that the Democrats are all standing there waiting to vote for the Messiah Obama? No. That's all. They're voting against the Republicans. 3 million people did not show up that voted. Just the evangelical Christians alone.
Right.
3 million did not show up to vote that voted for John McCain. We can blame it, the media. We got to blame ourselves. We got to look in the mirror, and our tent is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Well, yeah, it is. So as far as if you look at the percentage, actually, of evangelicals that vote, period, is poorly represented. It's not just even the 3 million that didn't show up, but percentage-wise, their consistency at showing up at the polls is poor, to say the least.
Great.
And many of them aren't even registered.
That's
but you've got and on the flip side of that, I saw the statistics in the that's another thing I really hate is we've segmented our country in so many different ways. All the time we have the same people that say that we want a colorblind society that puts division on every single thing from a job application to you name it. I mean, everything is divided into little groups and cliques and parties. Which
getting into college, everything. Everything's race based.
Everything is. And that's, you know, for those that claim they want a colorblind society, you know, their actions speak much differently. Why even have? I mean, if you got a job application, why do you even need race on there? To be honest with you,
I don't think you do. And in the state of Missouri, I got to tell you, it's a joke. It's terrible. And I'm talking about an employee can sue you for any reason in Missouri. If you hire a minority and you fire them, you're guilty, bud.
Right.
Period.
Well,
you are guilty. I've been to this rodeo. I'm not going to use any names. Just tell you a quick story about what's going on in our state and why we're losing jobs and why we really needed Spence to be the governor. And this Nixon he's not a friend of business. I had a guy I hired that was 67 years old. He had a hearing aid. Okay?
Yeah.
Decent guy. Military
right.
guy.
Right.
But it didn't matter how decent or what his background is. He didn't do the job. You know, I'm a for-profit organization. I'm not a welfare state.
Right.
And I sat down to fire him after 90 days. He was out of work when I hired him. It's not like I took him out of a good job. And he said, look, I'll do anything, cut my pay in half. And So I have a consultant that works for me, and we're sitting with this guy, and I said, excuse us. Gary says, let him go, Mark. I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. He goes, why? I said, because. I just can't. The guy's a military guy, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm going to. So we made a position for just him. And he obviously didn't make it at that. 4 months after this moment, Gary says, well, are you glad you wasted all that money? I said, yeah, you know what? I really am. I gave the guy every opportunity. My heart's clean. I think we did the right thing. I let the guy go. He immediately sued me because he had a disability for American on Disabilities Act. Sued
because?
Me on the spot. Because he had, I don't know why.
I mean, was the disability his hearing?
Yes.
That's insane.
And because of that, and this went on for a year and a half, 2 years in the courts. Forget about just how about the aggravation to the business guy that's trying to do the right thing. Look,
right.
I don't care what color you are. I don't. You know how many 70, 80-year-old guys I got working for me? Dozens of them. That's who drives my cars around. And you want someone reliable? Hire a senior, guys. Don't
right.
hire that 18-year-old kid that can't sue you. Hire
right.
that. Hire the senior. The senior's
right.
going to do his job. He's going to show up on time. But you know what? As a business owner, you got to make tough decisions, unlike our government. Either that or you're going to fail. So anyway, this went on for a year and a half. And then finally, I don't want to get into all the details. I don't want to get sued again. But finally, we were asked if we would just write a check to make it go away because his health is poor and he really needs the money. This
really?
Is after I spent $40,000 in legal bills.
Wow.
I said to my attorney, I'm not doing it. I want it to go to court. He said, Mark, you're going to lose. I go, why? Because you're the car dealer. You got this sick old guy now.
Right.
There's a very clear law about the American Disabilities Act.
Right.
So I said to my attorney, so we wrote a check, bud. I said to my attorney as we paid this guy, I said, so does this mean I can never hire another elderly man? He said, well, I'd think twice. See,
yeah.
That's what happens. That's the unintended consequences of these laws. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your sexual orientation is. I don't care what your age is. I could care less. I don't care what your nationality is. I got Muslims working for me. I have Jews working for me. And those are some interesting conversations. Those two get together. I have women, young women, older women, pregnant women. All kinds of different races, and I care about one color. I'm a businessman. I care about green.
Yeah.
Who can you do the job? But in this state, you're discriminated against as an employer. If you hire a minority or you hire an elderly person, you are asking to be sued.
You know,
I told my attorney, I said, you know what? I'll lock the friggin' doors in this business before I not hire somebody because they're 52 years old or whatever it is when I know they can do the job and I want them.
Right. Well, good for you on that. I'm just, and that's another point that I tried to make by all of these different laws that are put into place to, quote, protect people. We always, I believe, I look at legislation much like the over-medication of America. I mean, we have so many people that are over-medicated because they take medicine to counteract other medicine. And legislation works the same way. We have so much legislation and other things to deal with unintended consequences from poorly written legislation. And
have you ever read the American with Disabilities Act? It's a no-brainer. They're right. The American Disabilities Act is – we don't want to discriminate against anybody. But what happens, it's the rule of unintended consequences, which is
right.
most things that happen when our legislators legislate.
Well, correct. But I mean, you know, really, honestly, does the government really need to be we need to be able to let businesses and business owners like yourself hire who they feel is going to best represent their companies and do the best job and not throw the so-called protections in there because it ends up hurting the people that it's intended to help in the long run anyways. If you look at France, whenever they instituted the law that the companies had to ask the government for permission before they could lay somebody off, well, then what happened? You had a flood of hires that were directed toward older workers because they didn't want to be locked into folks for a long period of time, so the unemployment rate in the youth went through the roof.
And, well, you know, I just read that London, they passed a 50% tax rate on all millionaires, and two-thirds of the millionaires left London with all their money.
Right.
They left England.
Right.
That's what's going to happen in this country right now with this Obamacare and all these laws. Businesses are packing their bags and moving out of this country as fast as they can. And you want to talk about an exodus? It's happening. It's happening right now. They took Halliburton, a great American company, they moved to Dubai. You know what their tax rate is there? Zero.
Zero, yep.
I mean, we're running our business off. We're beating them with a club, and then we're telling them, you didn't build that.
Right.
Come on, you didn't build that. Remember Obama saying this?
Right, yep.
Let me tell you something, partner. I built my business. I built my business by literally eating bologna and cheese and my wife having to wash diapers when we were building the business we bought to buy these businesses. It was tough. I mean,
sure.
It was tough. I mean, living in a dump of a place, barely getting by. My wife and I ate macaroni and cheese. If we were lucky, we got hot. This I'm not talking about for a week. This went on for a couple of years in our life. We sacrificed. We saved our nickels. We started a business. I would leave my house, God's honest truth, that I'd have to be up in Iowa City sometimes. I'd have to be there at 8:30 in the morning. I wanted to be there at 8. It took me 5 hours. I lived north of the river at the time. I would leave my house at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would get home at midnight that night. And next morning I might need to be down in Fort Scott, Kansas, and I'd have to leave my house at 5 o'clock in the morning, running 3-4 hours sleep, no food, no gas in my tank. Half of the time I had to hock my watch, just get enough gas to get home and pick the watch up the next time. It was awful. And now these bureaucrats are going to tell me that I didn't earn this?
Mark.
It's a sore spot with me, brother.
The other part of that, Mark, and Republicans really did a poor job of communicating this, and that is all the taxes that are involved in Obamacare and some of the other aspects of it. For instance, you know, if you sold your businesses, you're going to, on anything, profits that you show, you're going to have to pay 3.8% on anything to help fund Obamacare.
That's correct.
So,
hey,
I mean, again,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
If you sell your house, and you bought your house, and you raised your four kids, whatever it is, and you paid $50,000 for your house, and now it's worth $250,000, and you and Mama are going to sell this house, scale down, move to Arizona, wherever you got planned. Government's going to take 3.8% of the profit on that home sale, too, partner.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's just
immoral.
Anything. It is immoral, and I heard very little of any of that before the election, and that was another crime.
I didn't vote for Romney. I voted against Barack Obama.
Yeah, I mean, I did.
I think he
know
was
what
a
you're
weak
saying.
Sister.
I know what you're saying. But whenever you compared the two, it was, people say they don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. But you tell me the last election that ever occurred in. I mean, personally,
1980, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, but the way I look at it, the only perfect individual got nailed to a cross. And that was our savior. And after that, any election of two men is a lesser of two evils. So I'm just, you know, even in that case, I like Ronald Reagan. He wasn't perfect. I mean, there was, as a matter of fact, some of the scrutiny that was involved in this last election, I don't know if Ronald Reagan could have stood up to it because of his immigration policy, because of some of the other things that he had been and that he had done. I don't know if the same scrutiny would have been applied to him if you wouldn't have had a lot of the same folks saying, you know what, I can't vote for him on principle.
Well, you know what, we're never going to find that out. I think you're
no.
wrong, but that's what's great about America. We can agree to disagree. I think Ronald Reagan would have kicked Obama's butt.
Oh, I do too. I do too. But what I'm saying is we've gotten to such, and you mentioned it earlier, whenever you were talking about fractured and that we can't get together. Well, we've got a certain group that, I mean, if they would magnify any flaw that an individual had and say that I can't vote for this person on principle in disregard for who he's running against and say I'm not voting for the lesser of two evils anymore and just like I stated earlier, I don't believe that exists. I believe every election is the lesser of two evils.
I do, too. And I also believe, this is going to really alienate all your listeners, I believe in compromise.
Well,
I believe we have to compromise because, like you said, the only person that didn't compromise, we killed him.
Right.
You know, there's got to be compromise involved. I think Bonnier coming out and saying we're putting everything on the table. including revenue increases. I think that was the right thing to do. I think we need to look at everything. Look, Obama won. The Dems picked up seats in the Senate.
Right.
They won the election. This was the mother of all elections, and we lost.
Right. No.
Got to sit down and do what we can to slow this runaway government train down and hope to God for a better election in the future. But if the Republicans don't pull together and quit backbiting, the fighting going on, I formed a little Tea Party group called Liberty Loyalists. We're on the western part of the state here, libertyloyalists.com. Anyway, we were the first Tea Party group to come out, and I think the first group in the nation to come down and endorse Mark Rubio for president of the United States. The hate mail, and then I did an interview with Human Events. Human Events called and said, whoa, what's this? I said, look, I told them the truth about everything, and they asked me about, you know, Aiken. I said, look, Todd was a great man. Him and his wife are a little weird, but they're great people. Good, they are. They're very strange people. Todd's a good Christian man. He would have been a great guy. He would have voted the right way. I supported Todd. I gave him money. I went to the polls, and I voted for Todd. I only endorsed three candidates in the primary, and Todd was one of them. But let me tell you something. If we are going to be so selfish and more worried about our careers than worried about the good of this country, we're doomed. Todd Aiken should have stepped down immediately. I believe he drug the entire Missouri party down. I guarantee he gave that. Anybody could have beat Claire. Not
I
Todd.
Agree.
And you know what? There's age of consent. There's all kinds of issues that he – you got to be smart enough not to try and explain that stuff.
Right.
The press is going to kill you.
Right.
They're
especially
going to destroy you. Todd,
especially Charles Jaco.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is
What's
it possible that Romney might have won had Aiken stepped down? They used it on and on and on and on, legitimate
right.
rape
no, I know.
In the campaign all the way across the nation. Over, I don't know and I don't think so, but the point is that we know we could have won Missouri's Senate seat, and we didn't, and we didn't win it because of Todd Aiken. And if we don't start putting our country first and stop backbiting each other, we might as well just hang the hat up. And the other thing is, if we don't start reaching out at the hate I got on my Facebook page and the email sent to me from Patriot Brothers I've done elbow-to-elbow battling with on the same side for years, good couple of years hard in the trenches anyway, and they're, how dare you? And I've made a recommendation that Missouri Tea Parties come together and endorse Rubio. You're pandering. Well, you know what? Maybe. What do you think the Democrats are doing? Well, we need to stand on principle. You know what? I want to win. I'm willing to compromise my principles a little bit. There's some issues that I am never going to compromise on, but I'm willing to compromise on them a little bit if it'll get us back in power. If we can stop this train and derail this great big behemoth running down the road that's destroying us and our children, our businesses, our future, and eventually the entire country. If
well,
we
Mark,
don't reach out to female voters, if we don't reach out immediately, look, I am a pro-life guy through and through and through. Why do we let them wedge the abortion issue? 50% of the women are never going to vote Republican, 60% because of that issue. It's settled. It's the law of the land. What are we doing? The Democrats successfully drive that wedge in there. We need to change people's hearts and minds. We're not going to do it at the ballot box. It isn't going to happen, guys. It's not going to happen in your lifetime. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. It's never going to happen. Why do we keep fighting? It's stupid. We're losing elections over this issue. Now, we need to keep the Christian coalition. We need to have life in our platform. There's no question about it. I'm a Christian man. Abortion is an evil. There's no question about it. But it doesn't need to be the focal point of our attack, our spearhead. It's foolish. Gay rights, guess what? It's over. The gays are going to get married, guys. It's not if, it's when. This
Mark,
is an issue we're never going to win. We're never going to turn this back, even if the people want it. Judges across the country overruling over and over and over and over again. And quite frankly, I don't care.
Judges.
Like I said, gay, straight, white, black, female, Christian, Jew, Muslim, I don't care. I just want to make some money. I want to go to work. I want to win some elections. I want limited government. I want freedom. I'm a libertarian at heart.
Right.
I'm more of a libertarian than I am a Republican.
You know,
and if we don't reach out to the female vote, and if we don't reach out to the Hispanics, we're never going to reach the black vote in this country. It's too late. And it's a shame. They should be Republicans.
Now,
Lincoln. I mean, take a look at our history. The South, the Democrats of the South stood up.
Right.
And they, if it wasn't, we wouldn't have had a Civil Rights Act if it wasn't for the Republican Party. We were the colored blind ones. We're the ones that believe in freedom. We're the ones that believe in everybody's equal. The Democrats don't. You're a black, you get special treatment. You're a woman. Oh, they can't fire you as a glass ceiling. Oh, they don't want you to have an abortion. Oh, you're gay. They're restricting. It's ridiculous. We need to put all this social stuff. We have to stand on our Christian values. I don't want the Christians to get upset with me. Look, I go to church. The Lord Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Okay? I get it. I'm there. I agree. You can't force feed religion. You've got to do it church by church, person by person, home by home, and heart by heart. You can't do it at the ballot box. We got to stop trying. We got to start winning elections, and we got to free our children out of these schools. If we don't have a true flat tax, there's two things that's going to save this country: a flat tax and true school choice. Everybody's got to have skin in the game. Everybody. And you know what? And these kids have to be freed from these liberal indoctrination centers where they're brainwashing these children into believing in global warming and that America's evil and, you know, Joan Baez is great and George Washington was a slave owner. That's what they're teaching our children. They're not teaching about freedom and about how the great vision of the great patriots of our land freed people. There was tremendous battle during the writing of the Constitution about slavery, a tremendous battle. And they knew, you know what they did, guys? They compromised. They
knew. If
you read the writings of our founding fathers, they knew that there was a bloodbath coming over the slavery issue. Jefferson wrote about it. They all wrote about it. They said, let's put this aside. Let's get our country founded. We'll deal with this later. It was called a compromise. If it was the same Republicans that wrote our founding documents, they would still be arguing over the abortion and the gay issue and everything else, and we can't have that, and Liberty Loyalist wants Rubio. Oh, what the hell with the Liberty Loyalists? Don't let them come to our meetings. It's ridiculous. We need to have a common vision of freedom and less government. It's that simple. And I'm going to get off my bandwagon, but I got to tell you something, boys. I have been beaten with an ugly stick by people because I dare say that Missouri Tea Party groups should endorse. I didn't say I endorse. I said I endorse it. Our board of directors at Liberty Loyalists endorsed Mark Rubio. I got their consent. I said, this is what I think we need to do. We need to be the first ones out of the chute. And I said, and I'm going to go to Jefferson City. There's a big meeting coming up on December the 1st. I'm going to go to Jefferson City. I'm going to try and get some mic time. And I'm going to recommend that we all do the same. You would not believe. I'm telling you guys, this isn't the left. This isn't Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Obama's people and Eric Holder. These aren't the jackbooted thugs from the ATF. These are patriots just like me and you and everybody else. And the hate mail that came out about how dare I speak and you need to get our permission before, I didn't use a single Tea Party, not one Tea Party group's name did I use but my own. And I didn't say we're going to endorse them. I said I'm going to ask for their endorsement for Mark Rubio.
You know,
and
Mark,
guys, you would have thought I crucified Jesus with the hate mail I've gotten. How in the hell are we ever going to win an election?
Mark, I understand why you're upset. I think that anybody that – here's the problem. Many, even in the grassroots movement, has adopted a lot of the left's approach. And one of those is that they marginalize. There's a lot of marginalization going on. And if you don't follow the template all the way, then you are attempted to be intimidated and shut down.
And ostracized. I will not
and
be
ostracized.
Silent, right?
No, you know what? I believe you. And that's great. That's great. I don't want you to be silenced. Neither will I, neither will Dave, neither will Terry, neither will Lisa. I mean, and neither will a lot of folks. I know so many that are in the grassroots that feel that way, but the problem is you know, again, we need to be able to listen to alternative viewpoints without trying to marginalize people or to ask questions that put them in a box with no good answer. We've all experienced that. I've experienced it. I've gotten hate mail. I've gotten people that told me they wished that I was dead. So it's not.
And they're patriots.
Yeah, it's not just you. Believe me, it's not. And the thing is that we really need to stop behaving like the left and using the same tactics that the left does. And I know what you're saying about strategy as far as winning. Let me ask you this. I've always been considered myself a conservative. Now, honestly, if I had to label myself, I would also say a libertarian with a small L. Many of the social issues that you're bringing up, you know, what does the federal government, if you really look, stand back and think about it, in their enumerated powers, what does the federal government have vested in those areas? These things should be, at best, decided at the state level.
Let me ask you, do you know any gay people in your life? Let's talk about one issue.
Absolutely.
Do you hate them?
No.
Do you want them to do without? Do you want them to suffer? Do you want to put them in jail? Do you want to lock them up?
No, and I don't think...
Of course you don't. You love them as a brother in Christ.
Right.
Love the sinner, hate the sin.
Right.
Right?
Now,
so why are we perceived as a people that hate gays? Because we don't.
No, we don't. And again, it's because we've been marginalized, and those people are assigning an attribute to us that they can pick out just a few instances and a few people and hang their hat on it. And that's not, you know, overall, it's not. I had a guy that at work that tried to accuse me, you Christians, you all hate gays. And I said, you know, how do you get that? And whenever we got to talking about it, I gave him an example that he could relate with his own son. I mean, it's not, the thing is you said it, and that is, you know, you hate the sin, love the sinner. But at the same time, if the federal government got completely out of the out of the marriage game, which honestly, Christians were married before this country even existed. So
that's correct.
Why do we need the federal government to approve our marriage in the first place? It ought to go back to the institutions that are performing the ceremonies. And in that case, you might have some that vary off in directions that others don't want. But you know what? We don't have to support those institutions if we don't want to. And as far as the rest of the legal rights, whenever we're looking at shared mutual properties, guardianship, all these other things, you know, we could get married in our churches and in our ceremonies. And
then do a civil contract.
And then do the legal work that would allow us to share mutually properties and guardianships and everything else.
I agree with you except for this.
What?
I'm going to play devil's advocate now. Marriage is a multi-thousand-year institution, okay? It's always been identified as one man and one woman. The reason everyone pushes back so far is they feel it threatens their marriage. And let me tell you something. I don't care if the two gay guys get married. It's not going to affect my marriage.
Well,
I
Mark,
could care less.
Here's,
if they want to call themselves husband and husband, let them. Who cares, guys? Rome is burning, and we're moving around the chairs on the Titanic.
I will say this, though, and you know what? If an institution, if a religious institution would perform that ceremony and the federal government wasn't involved, they could call themselves whatever they want. But here's the whole thing. You know, if the federal government recognizes it, then they can also define it. And whenever we're looking at instances, let's say that all of a sudden the federal government recognizes it, which we all know that's the direction it's headed, you know, you have no objection then at what is being taught in our public schools. If somebody brings in a prince and a prince that is a story that shares about the love between two princes and they get married and share a kiss and all these other things, and followed up by Prince and Prince and Family and all the rest of these other books that already exist. What is your complaint going to be in the public school system whenever marriage is accepted by the federal government? I mean, you can't say, I don't want this being taught to my kindergartner or my first grader.
I understand the argument, and I happen to agree with the argument completely, except for one thing.
What's that?
We, as a people, who are you or who am I to determine what books are written at a federal level? None. We're the citizens. We should have a right, back to my original premise, We should have a right to put our kids in the schooling of our choice. Look, you also have a thing called homeschooling, and I believe that's going to be one of the major answers when we unwrap this thing completely over the years coming up. The answer is going to be to get our kids out of these public – they're not schools anymore, bud. They're indoctrination centers.
Absolutely they are.
Did you ever see the movie Ride with the Devil?
I did not.
Oh, you got to get it. It's an old movie. The guy that did Spider-Man was in it. I forgot his name. But anyway, one of the telling scenes in this movie is a guy just got back from Lawrence, Kansas. And he says, you know, we've already lost. No, we're going to get in the brush and we're going to fight. He says, no. He says, let me tell you what they did in Lawrence. He said, the first thing they did is they built a school. They didn't build a church. They didn't build a courthouse. They didn't build a jail. The first thing they did is they built a school, and then they went and they rounded up all the kids and told them that they're going to be going to school now. He said, you see, we don't care what they think. They care what we think.
Right. No.
And that's what's happened. We don't care as libertarians and conservatives if they're gay. The problem is they're force-feeding it to us.
Right. Right. And here's the other thing, too. We've got – do you mind if you take a question from a chat listener?
I would love to.
Hey, Mark, I've got Annette here. She texts in – I don't know if you know Annette, but she says, tell Mark that Annette says not to be discouraged. If we have enemies, we got to be doing something right. And then I guess she's wanting you to push some agenda here, because she says, and I think she obviously already knows the answer, does he have plans to work with Ed Emery on something in the future?
Yes, Ed was the other person I supported and gave money to in the primary, and I don't like getting involved in primaries for Republican bloodletting, but I did in this case because Ed's the right man and a good human being. I will get involved in any battle that Ed asks me to get involved in, financially, physically, elbow to elbow, whatever he asks me to do. So the answer, Annette, is not only yes, but hell yes, I'm in. Count me in.
Well, I think that's pretty blunt and right to the point, and that's the way we like it, as far as just straight out. Now, Dave, did you have any other questions?
No, that's it. That's it. Thank you, Annette. And Annette's still in the chat. I'm sure she heard that and appreciates it.
Yeah, and very active and very, very, very prominent in grassroots overall. Annette has done she did tremendous work with Prop C. I've known her for a couple of years now and been very happy to know her and call her friend. So it's and it sounds Mark, it sounds like you've known her for a while too.
Yes sir. I'd like to give a shout out to one of my spiritual spiritual mentor would be Carla Dean Graves. I don't know if she's listening or not, but I got to tell you, she invited me up to a deal called Pastures and Pews in Iowa a few years ago, and it was me and 400 or 500 preachers, a car dealer, and 400 preachers. Talk about feeling like a fish out of water. But anyway, it really opened my eyes, and it really changed my perspective on all of this. I know a lot of what I said is violates some of her teachings, but look, here's the bottom line. I emptied my family's coffers, everything but the children's trust funds, and a little bit of money I had in them at the time. For George W. Bush, because I knew Gore had to lose, and I knew the Supreme Court was such a vital thing coming up. And thank God we did get Roberts and Alito. You wouldn't be carrying a gun now if it wasn't for them, so maybe we were right. But George Bush promised us less taxes, and he promised us free education or freedom from education. And, you know, the old Pink Floyd song, "Teacher, Leave Those Kids Alone." But I want to tell you, George Bush spent three times more money than Bill Clinton did, 3.5 times more discretionary spending, trying to buy the love of the liberals on the left. It didn't work. Now, who's the physical liberal, Bill Clinton or George Bush? Purely by the numbers, friends, it was George Bush spent a lot more money discretionary spending, 3.5 times as much. He spent 9.5%. Clinton spent 3.25%. Check your numbers. He promised us a vote on school choice, and he promised us to revamp our tax system, a flat tax. He had the House, he had the Senate, and he had the presidency. And we had the courts. We could have pushed through anything we needed to do to get this country on track, and he dropped the ball. That's when I am a small Republican and a large Libertarian. They're all taking us to the same place, fellas. People, they're taking us to the same place. It's a road to hell. The answer is less government.
Well,
no matter how we get there. And I say run this thing right off the fiscal cliff.
So, and that was one of the other things that I saw. Republicans reject White House fiscal cliff proposal as incomplete. So that was the last story that I saw on the web this evening.
Well, so, you know, what Obama's doing is saying, okay, give us our tax increases, and then we'll talk about cutting spending. And Bonnier, God love him, he's talk about not having the best. But he's our guy. We need to support him. Bonnier needs to stand firm with his feet in concrete and not violate a bit and say, everything goes on the table. He said, I remember I said, my Republican brethren think I'm a lunatic for saying this. We need to put revenue, everything needs to be on the table. We got a huge problem. They won. They have a right. But if they're not willing to negotiate, let them run it right off the cliff. I know defense is going to get cut, but you know what else? And I know revenue is going to go up, but you know what else is going to happen? All things, all discretionary spending and entitlements get cut. And that's the answer. The problem is entitlements.
Well, Mark, you know that the table is set. Whenever we look at some of the taxes, the 21, 22 taxes that are involved in Obamacare, whenever we saw the massive layoffs right after the elections, whenever we know, it's not like you had to have a crystal ball to see all this coming, and it's all going to be laid once again at the feet of the Republicans, regardless of what happens as their reluctance to be able to work toward this fiscal cliff. Or you can see the blueprint being laid on everything.
Let me ask you a question. First of all, when's it not been blamed on them?
Well,
never.
Yeah. No, I don't.
And second of all, when's the last time you heard Bonnier, or did you ever hear Mitt Romney stand up and say, listen, the Republicans passed a budget every year as constitutionally mandated. The Senate hasn't passed a budget in 3.5 years. Obama's passed a budget 3 years in a row, and not one Democrat's ever voted for an Obama budget.
Unfortunately.
How can this possibly be our fault? We have said we're putting everything on the table. We've passed a budget. They haven't even passed a budget, folks.
No, I know.
Passed a budget. Pass your budget. Let's sit down and let's grind out the details. I know my taxes are going up, and you know what? I'm okay with it. I really am. Providing we get our country back in line. I would give all my money to get our country back in line, but I'm not giving all my money to get our country back in line for a year, because that's all they're talking about. They're not going to. We need to fundamentally change entitlements in this country. You can make $35,000 to $40,000 a year in this country in benefits and goodies, not working.
You know what,
Mark, hell would you work?
Yeah, I mean that is. I saw John Stossel this last weekend. Had an episode to where he had a representative from one of the Indian nations, and they were discussing the fact that the Indian people have been put on more assistance programs than any other group of people in the history of the country, and yet poverty rates are highest amongst their group. And one of the things that the Indian spokesman had said was that he blamed it all on the lack of the ability for them to have personal property rights. And I do believe that personal property rights is where everything hinges. But
I agree.
And the thing is that they made a very, very good solid point for the case. And the fact that they even went out on the streets and asked different things. And unfortunately, the public perception, whenever they asked about, do you think public is better or private, most people said public. They were thinking about parks and other things, which, quite frankly, private parks, most of the time, the people that they don't even know they're private parks, but they're run better and the bathrooms are cleaner and stuff. But one of the things that they asked was public bathroom or private? And of course, every one of them chose private. But one of the main things with this whole deal is if you do not own it, you're not going to fix it up. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to take care of it the way that you do if you possess it or that you've worked for it or earned it, much like you and your businesses or anything else. And that's where the big disconnect is. But like you said, it's very hard. It's not – people, most people are not objecting to assistance. Most people are object to enabling, and quite frankly, it's a pretty it's not a good thing to do to somebody to enable them. It doesn't help anybody in the cause.
No, and what's worse than any of that is it takes away self-respect.
Yes, it does.
We've destroyed the black community in this country. You go back to the 50s and the early 60s, they were strong family units, good moral Christian families. There was almost zero divorce, almost zero illegitimacy. And then, you know, the war on poverty, and I don't believe it was done intentionally. A lot of my Republican brethren believe it's been a great big scheme from the beginning. I think their intentions were good. I really do. I give everyone the benefit of the doubt, but also I know the road to hell was paved with good intentions. And look what's happened to the inner city communities in our country. You know, in some of these cities now, the illegitimacy rate is pushing 80%.
Yeah. Yep.
And if guess what? If the wife gets married or if the mother gets married that has the three kids, she loses her benefits. We pay them to have illegitimate children. And then we punish them if they try to put a family unit back together. It's a crime, and it's the rule of unintended consequences.
It is. I agree with you.
Do you know how many federal laws that were originally passed in the Constitution?
I won't say that. Four.
There were four federal laws passed, just four. There's thousands and thousands. They tried to figure out how many federal laws there were. There's so many of them they can't even figure it out.
Oh, that's insane.
That's what's happened. The federal government needs to be out of it. Send it all back to the states, because I promise, you give me $10,000 to work with in my community, I'm going to get a heck of a lot more done for the poor in my community than the federal government giving them $10,000
sure,
out of Washington.
Absolutely. I mean, there is nothing. Nobody can show me any bureaucracy or agency from the federal government that does a better job than. Well, I'll give you an example. I mean, you know, the folks that we work with in the communities that we work around, we know legitimately, you know, if somebody has burned every bridge and they can't get $10 to get gas to get to work and back for the day from somebody, then odds are, you know, it's they burned a lot of bridges. And what the federal government's done is they've taken the families out, they've taken the churches out, they've taken a lot of the local assistance that folks did turn to out to where you're dependent upon them and them only. And quite frankly, you know, they don't hold many people accountable either from Washington, D.C. There's no
doubt about it.
I'm going to tell you. I mean, I've had some major issues with my neighbors here, and the problem is, Mark, I've got to go to work. My wife goes to work. They just have to go to their mailbox, and they've got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to mess with me and my property if they so choose so, and there's very little. All the way up the escalation chart that can be done with it.
I live in a little community called Amaret, Missouri. A couple hundred people in the whole town. I'm west of Butler. I'm right on. In fact, interesting little tidbit here, the Civil War may have been started on this very farm by John Brown.
No kidding.
I'm about ready for another one, but that's off the record there. No, just kidding. But anyway, John Brown is also my wife's great-grandfather. And if you met my wife's side of the family, you would believe they're capable of making an entire nation go to war with each other. No kidding. My wife is a direct descendant of John Brown. But right here in Little Amaret, Missouri, a couple of hundred people, we lose 3% of our population a year to you know, getting put in jail and dying of meth. One kid not too long ago, I knew the kid. I tried to put him to work a few times and you know, just around the farm here helping, and he laid on the railroad tracks, got tweaked up, wrote a goodbye note, and let a train run him over.
Wow.
Body parts spread out, and the amount of drugs in this area is just, it's absolutely incredible. When I first got down here 12 years ago, it was not unusual to have people shoot at my house going by because I bulldozed some buildings. Hell, I didn't know they were meth labs. They're just stinky old buildings. I bulldozed them and burned them, and, well, they were cooking in them, you know. And, anyway, all that's behind us, and I get along good now. But, you know, I can drive around, and I can point to you the people that are drugging.
Right.
I can point to you where the meth houses are. Right. I can point them out. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to endanger my life. But you know the police know who these people are.
Right.
And you know what? I can come home at noon and do something, and middle of the summer, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, going back to work, they're sitting there. They're not working. And if they were worried about feeding their kids and how to eat, they wouldn't be sitting around figuring out how to steal and cook meth. We enable these people to not only take away their entire self-respect. These are young-bodied, strong people. They wait for their government check, brother.
Right.
That's what they're waiting for.
You know, something else.
People that should, I want to help the old lady. I want to help the guy that's crippled. I want to help the guy that's got a mental disability.
Right.
The war veteran. I you would not believe the amount of money that my wife and I donate. It's stupid every year to good causes. And, you know, we're very generous people, Americans are.
Right.
I think most of us are, and I think most of us do what we're capable of doing. Some people that don't have money, you know, they donate a lot of time. And some people that, you know, we all want to help. We all want to do something. It's in our Christian heritage. It's who we are as Americans. But when you drive by and you see the guys sitting around, and the reason I bring up Amaret is, you know, I talked earlier about what they did to the inner city. Brother, this is in the middle of the country.
Right.
The federal government's destroyed these people.
You know, and that's...
You know, We're second and third generation people that have never worked. And I'm telling you, you got 6, 18-year-old to 26-year-old kids sitting around having babies, getting more checks, drinking, cooking meth, and stealing.
Right.
And we're funding it.
Right. Yep, absolutely.
This is not a black-white issue, brother.
No.
We're all in this together.
And here's, you know, and quite frankly, the neighbors that I'm speaking of are white. But the bottom line Mark, what do we tell our local politicians, those on the state level? I mean, my go ahead and my personal feeling is that we need to focus on the 10th Amendment and try to shelter ourselves as much as we possibly to get the federal government out of as much of our life as we possibly can and bring everything at the state level that we can possibly fight for. That's what I would like to see our state politicians focusing on and working toward.
It's not going to happen.
The other thing
we need to do is be realists. We can work on this and we can try, and we're going to trim around the edges, I know, because we're going to work hard and we believe and we're passionate and you know, and God's on our side and everything's going to be great. But I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen. The only way we're going to solve this problem is by running this country right over the cliff. The only way we're going to get back to our foundation is with a bankruptcy. It is so tangled, it is so deep, it is so dirty, until the federal government says, uh-oh.
Until gold
hits $60,000 an ounce, and we're like the Weimar Republic, where we have runaway inflation, and all of a sudden people can't eat, and all of a sudden the milk goes from $28 in the morning to $36 in the afternoon, and that's what's coming, guys.
The way we're
printing money with our quantitative easing, it's not going to happen until we absolutely go bottoms up. And at that point, then you're going to see us go back and say, what went wrong? How do we get back to our founding? And then the federal government's going to say, just give us 10% to protect our borders with the military. All you states solve your own problems. And then the states are going to have a hell of a time, and it's going to take a generation to fix it. But we can fix it. But we can't fix it as long as the federal government's in here. It needs to get back to its founding in the Constitution. There's very few things the federal government should do. We need to get rid of cut back. We need to get rid of all these federal departments, all of them. We need to get back to our founding. They need to protect our borders. They need to provide a constitutional forum to sue from person to person, from state to state, with interstate transportation. There's some basic laws they need to have. They need to provide our military. They need to provide a court system for us. And they need to enforce laws that would cross from state to state. But other than that, they need to be out of everything, bud. They don't need to be in education, social security,
health care.
They don't need to be in any of it.
You're 100% right on that. But I will say, you know, I differ a little bit from you on the whole reset thing, because I'm hearing I look at things whenever I hear the same thing with a different outcome coming from the other side. Many on the extreme left want a total collapse, and that makes me nervous. I'm telling you, I hear many on the left, regardless, want a total collapse, and it's about power. It's about power, because they know in a total collapse, how many people, Mark, how many people on the way home from work pick up their groceries at Snooks to cook for that evening's meal? And we're not set up in the West anymore to where we have a lot of independence, to where we could grow our food and other things. I mean, in years past, we had farmers. I mean, they would can 2 or 3 years in advance and goods. But whenever it comes down to families starving and everything else, the government, you look at Katrina, look at Sandy, I mean, the dependence upon the government and the folks just sitting back saying, where are they? I'm afraid in a total collapse, that's the direction we're going to go.
Well, I can tell you that when you looked at Sandy, what's the first thing they did in New York? They started forming militias to protect their neighborhoods. All right? Now, I've got some friends in the military, some that are pretty high up. I love the military guys. These are guys that skipped college to go serve in Afghanistan. Are you kidding me? What kind of, those are heroes.
Right. Absolutely they are.
Anyway, I've asked them. I said, if push comes to shove, what's going to happen? And I had a colonel tell me, quote, unquote, we will stand down. We will not turn our guns on our own people. Because I have a very, look, there's, I'm a realist. I'm not a doomsdayer, even though I'm prepared. There's a difference. I see 2 or 3 different paths for this country, and one of them is a total economic collapse and anarchy, and the other one is a violent revolution. And I want to give you just one thing to think about if our military stands down, and I believe they will, because they swear an oath to the Constitution, foreign or domestic.
Right.
And they know their Constitution better than our stinking politicians do. That grunt out on the front line getting shot in Afghanistan knows his Constitution better than Harry Reid does. All right? Let's not kid ourselves who the patriots are in this country. And
sure.
It's those men and women in arms, and they are conservatives at heart. Now, there's 600,000 hunters in Michigan. There's 750,000 hunters in Pennsylvania. There's another 400,000 or 500,000 in Virginia. You take 4 states in the East Coast corridor there, all right? You take those 4 states, or 3 states, and then add Wisconsin in. It's the largest standing army in the world. I had a guy from Chicago sitting on my lap deer hunting one day because he couldn't get the right position. This guy trained other people how to shoot deer. I mean, how to shoot, and he was there to shoot a deer with me. At 80 yards away, he shot twice and couldn't hit a deer. Now, right. I'm telling you, you take these hillbillies around here in Missouri, you take those guys up in Virginia in the backwoods and the Appalachian Mountains in Pennsylvania, and you go to Colorado and then go to where the real men are left, in Wyoming and Montana and in the Dakotas. These guys will hit a deer at 200 yards at a dead run and drop it and shoot it through the heart. I've done it.
Right.
All right? If it gets down to it, I believe the right side will win. Because I want to tell you something. The guys that are standing there with their hands out, that refuse to work, that are protesting, did you see that lady flipping off and screaming at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, please be quiet?
Did you see that on the internet? Unfortunately.
She ended up losing her job over it, and everyone's all mad because she has a right, constitutional right. Yeah, and I as an employer have a constitutional right to fire.
Right.
But anyway, these people, they're not going to know what to do. The people in Sandy, I have a lot of relatives. My uncle's over there right now. He's a firefighter out of Phoenix. He's on the front line in Sandy right now. He's doing dispatch and organization. The people in the Bronx and the boroughs in Manhattan, Long Island, everywhere where there was damage, they didn't wait for the police, my friend. They armed themselves. They already had the arms, and they're running guards and they're running militias protecting their own neighborhoods. And if the anarchy helped, if the anarchy happens, we're going to be fine in Butler, Missouri, brother. You're going to be fine in Springfield, Missouri. You're going to be fine in Columbia, Missouri. You're going to be fine in these towns that still have a country and a culture of God and country and guns. But I feel sorry as hell for the people in downtown Chicago, downtown Kansas City, St. Louis, Houston, Texas, Los Angeles, Detroit, New York City, Philadelphia, Newark, New Jersey. I've traveled the country, Atlanta. I know these towns, I know these people, and I love the food and I love the people. But they don't know what to do. honest to God, you saw it in Katrina and you see it in Sandy.
Right.
They don't know what to do. They,
no, they don't
even know. I remember looking them in Katrina and the guy's in water up to his waist. It was a quite funny picture. He's got a cooler floating behind him full of Nike tennis shoes. He's got a Nike tennis shoe box on his shoulder and the helicopter's there hovering over him. And he's screaming at him, "What do I do? What do I do? Well,
right.
How about stop stealing and get the high ground, dummy?"
Right.
I mean, are you kidding me? What do I do? Are you stealing tennis shoes and you're worried about your life?
Right.
And
yep.
and the anarchy and the chaos, my father's predicted this when I was a little boy in 1964, sitting on the floor in Memphis, Tennessee, sorting the silver quarters from the regular quarters in 65, when all they took the silver out of the money. My dad said, "Son, this is very important." He said, "Son, this is the first step. They're going to take the real money away from us. The next step is going to be gun control, and they're going to do it in the name of the children." He said, "And then they're going to come for you. Don't ever give up your guns." He said, "It's the only hope we have." My dad predicted he said it's going to happen with an economic collapse. It's going to be anarchy. He said, "Son, when the government checks stop, people are going to go hunting for food. When they go hunting for food, if you got it, they're going to take it. If they got to take it forcefully." He said, you think that gold's going to matter? He said, "What's going to matter is food and shelter and water. That's all that's going to matter.
Commodities.
Now, I am not a doomsdayer, but I am prepared, and I do believe that anarchy and a total economic collapse is a very, very real possibility in this country. I don't know if it's 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,000,000, 1 in 100, but let me ask you a question, my friend. Would you take a gun that had a revolver, that had 1,000 holes drilled in it, you know, like a normal six-shooter?
Yeah.
Would you put a bullet in one of those 1,000 rounds and spin it and put it to one of your children's head and pull the trigger? Well, of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't do it for all the money in the world. But let me ask you a question. Do you think there's 1 in 1,000 chance that an economic collapse is a possibility in this country?
Well, Mark, I've been to grocery stores where we had ice forecast, and I could not believe the empty shelves. It's going to be amazing but when we run into tragic times. And today I brought home a hydraulic wood splitter. It's completely mechanical,
cool.
Much like a car jack or anything else. But again, you know, it's just hydraulic. It's just manpower. But the bottom line, and I too, I'm not a doomsday prepper, but again, I look at the realism of things, and I just know that things get ugly quick, and we could see that all around us. But here's my concern. Again, you know, you have one of basically two different drastic scenarios. Unfortunately, whenever I look at a Detroit, whenever I look at different areas, California, the tax vote they just had, many other things that they just keep passing. Most of the time, the more oppression that gets put on the people, the more they look to government for help. And Detroit has been in a recession, if not depression, for decades. And what do? They keep getting more liberal in their politicians. And I'm just, if that collapse happens, and you asked me earlier, what would they have to benefit? Well, you have the migration, the move to if you totally collapse the economy, it is much easier to move and migrate toward a world economy, because or a world currency. Because if you look at Europe, everybody else, it would take the euro's done. It's done. It's toast. I fully believe that in my heart of hearts. The euro is not even on borrowed time anymore. And so, and there's constant talk of world currency, and I honestly think that many on the left see this as an opportunity to migrate us in an area through crisis, which we know that they love to play off of, to accomplish many of the things that we would never allow to happen without crisis. Does any of that?
I can assure you of one thing: when this crisis comes, and eventually it will, whether it's our lifetime or our great-grandchildren's lifetime, eventually it's going to come. They will not be able to put the genie back in the bottle and say, "Okay, now we're going to control." Because, my friend, there's too many people like me and you out there that think like this. We have maybe not a 10-year supply of food, but we have food. We have preparations. We've been through the thought process mentally. We know exactly what's going to happen if this happens. Look, my children know exactly what to do if something happens, where to go, how to get there, what message to send, where we're to meet. And, you know, and I don't think I'm the only family. I think there's not thousands, millions of prepared people out there today waiting and praying that it doesn't happen, but they're prepared. Look, I'm taking a couple of great vacations this year. I'm trying to buy a business right now up in Canada. I'm expanding. I'm trying to expand. Did you notice where I'm expanding at? Not in Missouri, in Canada. I'm looking at a business both in Winnipeg and one in Vancouver. I'm going to try and get a dual citizenship. I'm preparing for many different things, and I'm doing it with not only me but my family. If you're a business owner in Canada, it's very easy to get a dual citizenship. But anyway, what you don't understand when what you're saying is that the people that are going to hurt the most are the people that are the most liberal. They're already voting that way. They already want those things. They're going to be the ones saying, help me, help me. And you know what we're going to do as good Christian people? We're going to take what we have and we're going to help them. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help every single person I can.
Right.
And I don't believe you think that you ever been down to the Ozarks, Missouri, my friend?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was there three weeks ago. Yeah.
What do you think the chances are one world government affecting those people? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The only way it can happen with complete military rule, and my friend, our military is not going to do it. They're not going to turn their guns on their own people. That doesn't mean you won't have some rogue, you know, Illinois armory of, you know, reservists that's going to jump in there and do what the governor tells them. But the bulk and the rank and file of our government are not going to do it. In fact, they've got plans to take over this country in case of that crisis until they can have another election and restore order. It's not going to be, okay, we're going to take it over, and now, you know, we're going to have, you know, Hugo Chavez is the new president of the United Nations is going to be the new world leader. I don't see that happening.
Well, I'll say this, and I always refer to our present president as Hugo Chavez Jr., because he does. I mean, he wants to emulate Hugo Chavez in every single fashion that he possibly can. And unfortunately, has been successful in some of them. And that really
who's
is.
The first person the left persecutes? The cripple?
Right.
The retarded?
Right, right. The weak.
Homosexuals?
Right.
Everything, the press?
Sure.
It's unbelievable. What are these people thinking?
Right.
The first thing that the left did, and when they got, yay, Chavez, the press all wrote great articles about him, he went and closed their papers as soon as they didn't write what he wanted. Is the left that ignorant in this country? Do they not see that?
And you know, the one thing I found that's interesting, too, and there's some 20-minute video clips on the Internet of an individual that went right downtown. I mean, whenever you're looking at Venezuela, and I'm trying to remember, I'm trying to remember what cities he focused on, but it was quite interesting. I mean, in there, the murder rates and everything have more than tripled since Chavez has been in there, but the government doesn't take murder statistics. They don't take the only statistics they're getting is from the newspaper reporters that are currently still able to do that kind of work. And whenever you're looking at other aspects, the one thing I found extremely interesting was they had a guy, a homeless guy, too. They were interviewing different people, not on this show, but in a different newspaper. And one of the homeless people that they interviewed talked about how he only gets one hot meal a day from Chavez, and he gets a cot at night to sleep on. But it was better than what he had before, so he's voting for Chavez. And again, you know, whenever you're looking around, it's the misery index has gone up drastically in Venezuela. But you still have a lot of the folks that, because of the fear of the unknown, they're looking toward that government and Chavez to take care of them. And that's one of the human natures that kind of concerns me on things is how many people, again, even in this country, I know what you're saying, not all of it is going to fold, and not all of it's going to fold easily, by no means. You know, I'm just and I've really enjoyed the conversation
Lest
tonight.
They turn the United States military and is willing to slaughter its own citizens. I don't believe they are. I don't see your scenario of the stormtroopers coming in and the brown shirts, and we're all going to bow down and praise the United Nations and go to one world currency and settle for a cot. That's why they want to take the guns away, my friend.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. They have.
As long as we're armed. We are armed, and we're not going to sit still for it. I can feed everybody in my town, the town of 200 people, I can feed off of this 1,400-acre ranch I have, I guarantee you.
Right.
We can figure it out as a group, and we don't need any help from the federal government. And we're armed. We're all armed. This whole town's armed. Everybody's armed. We're not going to sit still for it. No one's going to come take my guns. No one's going to come forcibly take my livestock. No one's going to come forcibly take my home or imprison my children, not without a bloody fight. And guess what? There's millions upon millions of us out there. Are you going to let someone come forcibly take your property from you?
No.
Under the guise of one world nation?
Well, no.
One world government?
No.
Or are you going to fight?
I'm not. And again...
Are you going to fight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, so is everybody else, partner. The
right.
fear is going to be man on man. You don't need to fear the government because they're going to collapse. You need to fear the guy saying, hey, I know he's got some food. I'm going to his house, and I've got a gun, and I'll take it if I have to by force.
You know, here's one of the things, Mark, and it's if I hadn't seen it myself, I wouldn't have, you know, I'd have had trouble getting my hands around it. But a week, and I remember it was the Saturday after Memorial Day, my son is out working on his car in the driveway, and I hear a low-flying airplane or something overhead, and a drone flew directly over my driveway, low-flying.
Did
just
you shoot
a little,
it down?
No, I didn't, but it wasn't very much higher than the treetops, and it was a rear prop. I've seen them, and it's just like many that you see in pictures and everything else.
Where do you live?
I live in around Festus, Missouri, but
you're not out in the country.
No, I'm out. I'm probably just about 10 miles out of Festus, maybe a little less. But
I don't know if it's legal to say this, but I think you should have shot the drone down and told him you thought it was a flying saucer.
Well, and I wouldn't have no problem with that. But I am standing there talking to my son while he's under the hood. My wife's there. And I mean, I wasn't open carrying on me, and it wasn't, you know, overhead for very long. It was low flying, so it got out of the trajectory pretty quickly. But there was probably, I'm going to say 150 people or so that had reported seeing one at Merrimack Caverns on Memorial Day weekend. So, I mean, quite a large group of people. And whenever you look at the FAA's, and again, I'm not, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not playing on paranoia. I'm not playing on anything like that. But I know that happened because I saw it. Today I saw on the TV they were talking about a, what did they call it? It's a spy cod or something. It looks just like a fish, but that the government has got. It's just a big yellow cod fish that is robotic, that swims, and it's a spy. It's a spy cod.
Yeah, they're underwater drones.
Yeah, and though it's interesting and everything else, whenever we're looking at so many different aspects of what the government has got going on and how we're disregarding our constitutional rights as we sit, you know, will they need a large amount of military to accomplish at least keeping people into clusters or groups, if it came to that?
Yes.
Okay.
They will. And the military will stand down. Or the military will turn their guns on their own and say, leave these Americans alone, because they know their Constitution.
And I have.
And I am. And you know what? You're not paranoid. If you're not paranoid, you're a fool. You better be paying attention and worrying about what ifs, because the government has huge capabilities. Look, back in the 60s, they claimed the government could read the dime. The date on the dime in 6 feet of water and clear water in a swimming pool. What do you think they can do now?
Oh, yeah. I know. It's amazing.
I understand from, again, I've got some, well, I won't even tell you, but they have the ability to listen right now from outer space, right through the roof of my house, right into this, right into what I'm doing. They have the ability to pick up this conversation on the telephone. They have a thing called Echelon I told my friends
right.
about back, you know, 15 years ago. And
sure.
They're like, oh, you're paranoid, you're nuts. Echelon's finally been exposed.
Yeah.
Echelon scoops up every bit of data in the world, not in the United States,
right.
in the world. Every
right.
text, every phone call, every email, every fax, every
searches
tele,
keywords.
Every walkie-talkie, every everything, every electronic, every TV, every radio, every everything in the world, and it goes into this great big huge supercomputer that looks for keywords and key
right.
phrases. And then they have about 2,500 analysts that sit around and say, okay, you know, this is well, it's, oh, that's Mark again talking on the radio. He's not causing. No, they're spying on us. Anyone
right.
that thinks
no.
they're not is a fool, and that's
no,
not paranoia. That's just common sense. We know they're spying on us. We know they're listening, and that's why if we stick to our constitutional Christian values, my friend,
right.
we have nothing to fear. As another great Democrat said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
You know, Mark, if you
cannot be afraid of these people, we must stand up. We must stand firm and say no. The ATF came to my dealership and said, bring all your guns in. I said, why? We want to see them. I said, do you have a warrant? No, really. I said, well, I'm not doing anything. Forget it.
You're kidding me.
Everyone in the dealership looking at me. You're telling them no? Yeah, no.
Right.
Let's go through some due process here.
Right.
You're not violating my civil rights as a human being and as an American
no.
citizen.
Well, good for you.
And you know what? And you know why? Because they saw a gun on the CNN interview. I want to see that gun. Why? Well, because you don't have any right to see my gun. Now, if you'd like to get a warrant, come to my home. I'll bring them to you, whatever you want. But, boys, we're going to do this right.
Right. You know, Mark,
back down. Stand up to these bureaucrats. Stand up to them and tell them no, not only no, but hell no, I'm not doing it. And until we can look, how does the left winning?
Right.
Left winning through civil disobedience.
Well, that's where I was talking about whenever I was talking about our state concentrating on telling the federal government no on the things that it's not enumerated in. But working toward removing the federal influence as much as we possibly can from our daily lives.
But the problem is just going to take us the road to hell a little slower. And I wish we could slow it down to a crawl. Believe me, I'm with you. Let's do it. But the end game is not going to be we're going to slow it down. The end game until this evil, look, evil can only destroy itself in the end. It will feed on itself before it's over. And as you cannot print money that is not there and say, oh, we have another trillion. That is the very,
no.
very nature of evil. It's not earned.
Sure.
It's not built. There's no resources,
right.
nothing. We're just going to print it out of thin air and say, okay, we got it. We can keep this big social program going. It's inherently evil. It will collapse. It will collapse on its own weight. It will collapse on its own weight because of the very evil nature of itself.
Right.
Until then, we will not be truly free. And then guess what's going to happen? We'll spend two generations building that back up, and then little by little by little, the evil's going to permeate again. I think it's
yeah.
a vicious cycle that never ends.
It is a vicious cycle. I mean, history will bear that out. But let me once again thank for you to. We're gonna be running out of show here, and I want to thank you once again for coming on tonight, Mark. I'd love to have you on another time if you're willing. And
I'd love to. We've been on the radio for a long time. This has been great.
Yes,
seems like just a few minutes. I appreciate talking to you.
Oh, that's all right.
Time, by the way.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate the your forthcoming and just your willingness to lay it out there on the line, and also your approach. I do believe that we succumb way too often to authority without making them go through due process. I think that's great. Oh, by the way, you are supposed to come on tomorrow too for the roundtable for a bit, right?
I'd love to. What time is it?
It starts at 7:00.
I would love to. And I got to tell you, but listen, it's very important. I know these police officers. I know these sheriffs. I know these senators, these congressmen. You know a lot of these guys. They're not bad people. They're in a
no.
bad situation.
Right.
If you are standing up to bureaucracy, the ATF, the police, whatever it is, have respect. These
right.
are human beings just out trying to do their job. and they don't like half of the crap they're doing any more than you do, but they're trying to make a living, and they're trying to enforce the laws that have been voted in by the people.
You know what?
And been imposed on us, and so always show respect. I was so respectful to these, especially this ATF woman, as respectful as I've been to any human being, you know, with all respect, ma'am.
Right.
I'm not, no, the answer is no, I'm not doing it. Now, you know, if you want to get a warrant, due process, call my attorney, whatever we got to do, but, you know, I understand you're doing your job, but I also understand the Constitution, my Constitution. So always be respectful is my message.
Mark, that is a wonderful message, too, by the way. I mean, and we should. We should always. Patience and respect. But one of the things that if you get a chance to do, too, I had done a series on disaster response. I teach disaster response also, but we played the first episode in that series last week. So if you look back in the archives, you can catch just the first episode. And I've got a couple of more coming up, and we go through different aspects. And it's whether it's natural disaster or whether it's a collapse of the economy or whatever it is. You know, it's just a matter of just being prepared, just like you said. For
what odds would you give for some kind of disaster in the next 10 years of any kind?
Right. Tremendous odds.
I mean, they're there. Whether it's 20% or, you know, 8%, you better be prepared. And I think that's what this message should be about.
Well, if you look at the earthquakes, you know, in the early 1800s in the state of Missouri, if anything like that happened today, the infrastructure.
The Missouri River flowed backwards.
Right. Real Foot Lake was formed. I mean, you know, it's do you think these bridges and stuff would withstand that whenever church bells rang in Boston, whenever it's felt in Canada, whenever it was felt in Mexico? I mean, it's not. Quite the event, and that is something that even the scientists, anybody else, nobody disputes is going to be periodic. That
the last time I talked about this was, you know, 5 years ago. They said it could happen as we're speaking.
Absolutely, it could, and that's what we're talking about. We're not talking.
What is that? The San Madrid fault. What fault is that? New Madrid fault. That's correct. Correct. Yeah. Well, you're a very educated man, and I've sure enjoyed talking to you.
Well, thanks, Mark.
To be on the round table. So if you guys want me to call in at 7 tomorrow, I will, and I'll try not to be as passionate and cool my heels a little bit.
All right, brother. We're going to close things out with your CNN interview, and God bless you. Look forward to
all right,
listening.
Brother. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Again, Mark Mulder. I appreciate Mark Mulder. Listen to me, Mulder. Appreciate him calling in this evening. We're gonna close things out with his interview on CNN. And here it is. Thanks for listening to Hillbilly Logic on Grassroots Radio Network.
Perfect song for this next story. The rough economy has been particularly tough on car dealers, so many of them have come up with innovative promotions to get vehicles off the lot. And then there's this. Starting in August, Max Muller, president of Max Mowers in Butler, Missouri, near Kansas City, will be giving away free AK-47 assault weapons with the purchase of any truck. You heard right, AK-47s. Joining me now from his car lot near Kansas City, Max Muller. Max, good morning.
Good morning, Carol. It's Mark Mueller, but that's okay.
Oh, I so apologize. Now I feel bad from the get-go.
That's all right.
But tell me about this promotion and why you decided to do this.
Well, last year we gave away a free handgun with the purchase of any vehicle, and it went over very well. It spiked our web traffic. We sold, we estimate, 35 extra cars during the promotion than we normally would have. And this year we're trying to sell an extra 100 cars more than we normally would. We're just trying to generate some traffic, generate some interest and enthusiasm and excitement, and it seems to work real well. You know, we're not just going to give people an AK-47 gun. You know, felons buy cars too. What we are going to do is we're going to give them a voucher where they can go to their local gun dealer, and or we have local gun dealers we would strongly recommend, where they can go buy a gun and go through the proper background checks and so that, you know, the guns end up in the right hands.
So how much money does an AK-47 cost? I'm just curious.
It depends. You can get a good AK-47 for $450, maybe $500.
You know, some people watching this might think, you know, owning a handgun is one thing, but owning an AK-47 is something else, and maybe this is just a tad irresponsible?
That's a little grandstanding, but how about that guy that just had him and his wife killed that had the 12 children with the seven guys coming through the door? I guarantee you he wishes he had an AK-47 as those maggots busted through his door and slaughtered him and his wife in front of his children.
Well, but
the purpose for guns like AK-47s is home defense.
Well, but police officers are shot in the line of duty all the time, and they carry guns every day, so maybe some might not think that's a great argument.
Well, I'd personally like to have a sporting chance instead of just becoming a victim. I guarantee you those guys that broke through that door that used guns to kill those people did not have legal guns and did not go through the proper steps to get them. Those were all illegal guns, and I would bet my bottom dollar on it. I haven't seen the facts yet, but
mm-hmm.
Look, there's a bunch of evil in the world, and people need to protect themselves. We're real firm believers. We're country folks down here. We live down here, and we're real firm believers in the Second Amendment, and we don't want to become victims. When I live out in the country 15 miles from the dealership here on 1,200 acres, the response time to my home is about 15 minutes. And if I'm counting on the police, and we have a great police force in Bates County, great sheriff, great police in Butler where we live, response time is still 15 minutes to how great the people are and how good their intentions are. And I would rather defend myself. The only 911 call I need is chambering around.
Well,
and I think that's,
you know,
the case
what?
Most,
I mean, I grew
here.
Up in rural America too. We had guns in our home, but they weren't AK-47s. I mean,
how long ago was that?
When I was a teenager. What's 20 years ago? 30
well,
years
things
ago.
Things have changed dramatically. I don't know if you know anything about Missouri. Where I live in this county, there's a tremendous crime problem with people doing meth, and these people are they've lost their souls. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They care about one thing: getting more dope.
Well, and I understand evil in the world, but I'm just questioning the semi-assault weapon to protect yourself. That's all I'm saying. Your motto is God, guns. Your motto is God, guns, guts, and American. Why did you come up with that particular motto?
Actually, it's God, guns, guts, and American pickup trucks. Because we sell cars.
Right, but you include God in that. And, you know, some might wonder why God is included in a motto that it also includes guns.
You don't have a problem with God, do you?
No, I don't, but
I'm
the combination
curious.
Some people might, between God and guns, some people might have a problem with that.
We're a Christian nation. We're Christian people. I believe that 70-80%, I would guess, in this nation would classify themselves as Christians. I'd say 90% of the people in this country are believe in God, whoever their God is, and to try and remove God from everything, I think it's a huge
mistake. That's not what I'm saying.
I don't think putting God in a motto that also includes guns
might be a little upsetting to some people.
You don't think God wants us to defend ourselves? I'm confused. I you know.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think
I could
God
ask
wants
you the question.
Victim.
You know, we could do the "What would Jesus do? Would he carry a gun?"
No, they didn't have guns back then, but I do believe he'd carry a sword if he needed it, but he was so powerful he didn't need any weapon.
That is true. Thanks so much for joining us, Mr. Mueller. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Hey, I appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Interesting debate this morning.
I've been having some interesting debates all week.
You have?
Yeah.
Come up here for a couple of days and...
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you,